Is it okay for Christians to participate in Halloween? Find out on Change by Grace. Welcome to Change by Grace. I'm Pastor Steve Herford. In our last time together, we asked the question, should Christians participate in Halloween? As we've addressed the answer to this question, we saw how this holiday is inconsistent with our name and nature. What else can we learn about this? Well, let's find out today as we look once again at God's Word.
I went into Wendy's the other day, and they stuck in my bag an advertisement for Wild Adventures. And the advertisement was depicting their understanding of Halloween. And it titled that little flyer, that little small flyer, it talked about it being a night of scares. What about at the Jacksonville Zoo that goes on every year? A night of horror. What about these things, folks? If there's nothing wrong with this, why are we trying to scare people to death? Why are we depicting death and darkness? I went up to houses before before I came to Christ and saw these things. And I didn't think anything about it because, you know what? I wasn't saved. I didn't know Jesus. I didn't know any difference about this. But what did I see? I saw people depicting death, mocking death. And you know what, folks? When we take darkness and death and evil and wickedness and we bring it into the form of entertainment like we talked about last week, what does it do? It desensitizes us to its seriousness. I tell you what, if someone grabbed one of your children, you'd think more seriously about this night, wouldn't you? If someone hurt one of your family members, or someone hurt one of your friends, you'd think twice about this day, wouldn't you? How can we attack a system of evil like this has been going on for a long time? Well, you attack it just like you attack everything else every day. You live the light. You live the light of Jesus Christ in you. You are holy as He is holy. You attack it by those means, and sometimes you have to attack it verbally. Sometimes you have to confront people about that. Most of us in here have went through all the family issues with our families that didn't see anything wrong with it, but we took a stand on it and our family went against us and just couldn't understand it. And they say, it's for the kids. But folks, I don't want that for my kids. And no one should want to make me make that for my kids. But I do want to approach things from a biblical basis and not a legalistic basis. I want to come back and see what God says about something like that. And you know, folks, you've already discovered God says nothing about, quote, Halloween, but you know what? He says everything about darkness. He says a lot of things about light. And if that day, by their own definition, is a day of celebrating darkness, then I can go to my Bible with those terms and say, what does the Bible say about that? Who am I as a child of God? I am a child of light. I have nothing in common with darkness. Nothing at all. There's nothing celebrative about darkness. I guarantee you, folks, people in hell right now are not celebrating. They're not having a party like some people want to say, that we're going to party in hell. They're in a place of torment. They're in a place of anguish. They're in a place, as Jesus called it, where there's weeping and the gnashing of teeth. They're in a place where the worm dies not. They're in a place that is called outer darkness. That brings some seriousness to it to me. And you say, well, wait a minute, Steve, you're always serious. Come on. You're always serious. Well, I'm serious about this, for sure. We're not to fellowship with darkness because it's inconsistent with who we are. If we are called sons of the light and the light of the world, then fellowshipping with darkness is inconsistent with our name. Totally inconsistent. It's also inconsistent with our nature. Think with me a minute. We are called to holiness. Ephesians 1:4 says, just as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. It says in 1 Thessalonians 4:7 that God did not call us to uncleanness, but to holiness. That is our nature. And then we're told in 1 Peter 1 that we are to walk into holiness. He says there in verse 15, but as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Well, folks, that right there gives me the standard. That right there gives me the answer to all my questions. Again, I remind you of those questions I asked earlier. Listen to him again. What actually took place at your salvation? You were transferred from one kingdom to another. What is a believer's relationship to light and darkness? There is no relationship. There is total incompatibility. In fact, if you want to see what incompatibility light has with darkness, we could turn all the lights out and then turn on the light. What happens to the darkness? It has to leave. It dispels the darkness. Who's your master now? Is it Satan or is it Jesus? Because you can only have one. What about your name? Are you a son of disobedience or are you a child of light? What does the Bible say about these things? Well, it is inconsistent with who we are. It's also inconsistent with what we were saved from. We were saved from darkness. You know, that would be just like me being saved from those things that I did in my life, the drugs, all of those things. I was saved from that. So it would be inconsistent for me to go back to it. Wouldn't it? Wouldn't make sense. I'm going around telling everybody, Jesus saved me from cocaine and I'm out doing it again. Jesus saved me from pot, but I'm out smoking it again. Jesus saved me from beer and alcohol and all these different things, but I'm out doing it again. That doesn't make sense. Did Jesus change me or what? Did Jesus give me a new want to and a new will and a new direction and a new desire? Yes, He did. He gave me a new desire. He gave me a desire for righteous things, a desire that I formerly did not have. Jumping holidays for just a minute, I remember my first year as a Christian celebrating Christmas and everybody around me celebrating Santa Claus. I just could not get it. And maybe they can't get it either because maybe their eyes haven't been opened. And so our part is to share the truth in love. Speak the truth in love. Now, I'm doing everything I can to make it not sound harsh up here. And sometimes that just my passion overtakes that. But listen, think about what we're doing. Think about what this day is about. Darkness, destruction. Let's celebrate that. Hey, this is great. Do we really do that? No, we don't. You don't watch the news and laugh at all the things that they show on there, do you? You don't laugh when they go from subject to subject to subject to subject and it's all about somebody getting killed, somebody doing something evil. Do you laugh at that? We're not to fellowship with darkness. It's inconsistent with who we are. It is inconsistent with what we were saved from. We were saved from darkness. And you know what? We were saved from Satan's dominion. Again, I remind you, He's not our master. Ephesians 2:2. We once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. We used to be the sons of disobedience, and Satan himself worked in us. But not any longer. Jesus is in us now. Jesus is our master. Look at the third thing it's inconsistent with. Well, it's inconsistent with our calling. Look with me at Ephesians 5. Last week we looked at Ephesians 5. And we looked at this verse itself. We looked at verses 6 and 7. But look there at verse 8. Look at what he says there. You were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. You used to be under that dominion. You used to be under that life. But you're not that any longer. You have been changed. And if you remember last week, we looked at this passage and I asked the question, who are you listening to? Because the world is out there saying that all these deeds of darkness are okay. They're saying, God's not going to judge for that. Go ahead, live it up. Do what you want to do. There's not going to be any consequences for that kind of lifestyle or that kind of behavior. And Paul says, listen, don't let anyone deceive you with empty words. Because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partners or partakers with them. Because we were once darkness, and now we're light. That's not our life any longer. I remember this passage when I came across it as a brand new believer in Christ, and I'm reading through that list, and I'm going, yeah, that was me. And And you know what part that just kind of hung in my mind? It's that part there in verse 3. He says, "But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named or uttered among you as fitting for saints." Every time I was tempted to go back to that, I kept thinking about this verse right here. I didn't want that uttered as me being a child of God. I didn't want that to be labeled on me any longer because God delivered me from that. It's inconsistent with our calling. We are called to expose darkness. We are called to expose it, not participate in it. Look there at verse 11. "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them," rather reprove them. And you have to do more than reprove just by living. You have to also reprove by words. Sometimes we have to talk to people about their lifestyle. When they claim to be a believer and they're not living what the Bible talks about that is consistent with the believer, we have to reprove that. That is darkness. We have to expose it. We don't hide it. We don't, because we don't like confrontation, don't do it. No, we have to do it in obedience to Jesus. Because Jesus says to do it. That doesn't make it easy. It's always going to be hard. But the Bible tells us in Galatians 6 what kind of attitude that we're to have when we are exposing darkness. And look at what it says right there. He says in Galatians 6, verse 1, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted." You have to do it with gentleness. You have to do it with humility, and you have to look at your own self. And as Jesus would say, you've got to get the 2x4 beam out of your own eye before you can get the speck out of your brother's eye. You've got to look at your life first. So it takes work to confront somebody. Because you've got to confront yourself first. You've got to look at your life and say, that could be me being confronted. That could be me being pointed at in that whole issue. And folks, I hope that you love one another enough to do that. See, because when you love someone that way, you tell them what they need to hear. And you do it with a gentleness. You do it because you love them. You do it because you know that sin does nothing good in a person. It does everything to destroy. And what happens when we get involved in sin, it's just like Paul there in Acts 9. He had scales on his eyes, and it wasn't until Ananias came along and laid his hands on him that the scales fell off. And folks, we need those who are spiritual, those who are humble, to come along and, if you will, remove the scales off our eyes. Because that darkness blinds us. And we get caught up in some kind of sin and we can't see it. We're doing nothing but hurting us, and we're hurting the body of Christ. We're hurting one another. So confronting and exposing is a help. It's something that we are called to do. There in Ephesians 5. We are imitators of God according to Ephesians 5:1. Look with me over to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. He tells us there in verse 14... not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And not to be unequally yoked with darkness. See, there is no equal yoking there. Because there is nothing common. Look at what he says. "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship or communion has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." There is no communion between light and darkness. We are to flee the darkness. We are to be just like Joseph as he ran out from Potiphar's wife, as she tempted him every day to have sex with her. He ran out of that room. He ran from temptation. It's like Paul told Timothy to flee youthful lust. Don't play around with that stuff. Run from it. See, we're to run from darkness, not run to it, not entertain it, not promote it. We're to run from it because it's deadly. Christians are not to fellowship with darkness. It's inconsistent with who we are. It's inconsistent with what we were saved from. It's inconsistent with our calling. John MacArthur says, "The child of light should not become involved in evil even by association." See, we are to expose the darkness. So I ask this question. Should Christians participate in Halloween? Let me ask it differently. Should Christians participate in anything that celebrates darkness? That's the way we should phrase it. Whether it's Halloween or whether it's something else. You know, every year the world has something to counterfeit, doesn't it? We celebrate the resurrection. What do they celebrate? Easter bunnies laying Easter eggs. That doesn't make sense. I live on a farm. Easter bunnies don't lay Easter eggs. Doesn't make sense. But that's another form of worship. We preach creationism. What's the world preach? Evolution. They say no God. What about Christmas? We celebrate the birth of Christ, our Savior coming into the world to redeem us. What's the world celebrate? Santa Claus. And it just keeps going around in a circle, and it will keep going around in a circle. And you need to have an impact in your family and on the people around you for Christ. You're saying, "Well, I don't want to confront those things." Why not? Are you scared to confront it? So should we participate in Halloween? Well, biblical evidence says no. That's what the biblical evidence says. If Halloween is celebrating death, darkness, evil, then the biblical evidence says no. Because see, that's what they define Halloween as. Here's a quote. "Halloween is the end of the witch's year. It marks the beginning of death and destruction associated with winter. At this time, the power of the underworld is unleashed and spirits are supposedly free to roam about the earth. Occultists consider Halloween the best time to contact spirits." And I read to you last week, this was published in the Florida Times Union in 1990, they were quoting that there was as many as 60 witches' covens around Jacksonville, and these witches use Halloween as the occasion for prayer and fasting against the Christian faith. See how they define it? You want to know how they define it? Well, look at the TV shows that are coming on. Halloween 1, 2, 3, is there a 4 now? Just look at how they define it. Look at the lineup. Look at the listing. It is a mockery of evil. See, I really believe that participating in Halloween can confuse the message of the gospel. It can confuse it. How does it confuse it? Well, think of the gospel. What is gospel? Good news. That's what gospel means. Euangelion. Good news. Folks, you know what the bad news is? The bad news is we have a condition. The condition is sin. The bad news is you can't do anything about it. The bad news is God's going to hold you accountable for it. The bad news is you're going to hell. You know what the good news is? Jesus came and took that penalty for you. He stepped in as a substitution. And He took what you and I deserve and He took it on Himself. He stepped in for you and me. That's good news. Isn't that good news? He transferred you from darkness to light. Isn't that good news? You're looking at a guy that used to be high all the time, drunk all the time. The good news is I'm not that anymore because Jesus changed me. He changed my life. That's good news. He changed your life too. He took you out of darkness. He brought you into light. And He's constantly working in you, isn't He? I mean, all these things we get hung up with, He is constantly working on you. I know He's constantly working on me. Because the Bible says that He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. We are all under construction. And God is purging the darkness from us constantly. Well, let's ask a question here. What about alternatives to Halloween? Well, there are some noteworthy alternatives. What about church fall festivals? Because a lot of them go on. Well, here's what I personally would like to see in something like that. I'd like to see a church take an outreach approach with it. There are some churches here in town that take that whole evening and make it evangelistic. And how do they do that? Well, there's some churches around here that do tribulation houses, judgment houses, and the whole point of it is to present the gospel. That's noteworthy. But what about this alternative? Why don't you just take the night and spend some time with your family? Do something special with them. And if you do have these little kids come up to your door, why don't you share Christ with them? You know, first of all, the kids don't know any better. It's the parents. Share Christ with the parents. I want to close with a statement. Actually, it's a long statement. From Henry Law. Something that we all need to remember. He says this: redeemed ones are no more their own. Did you hear that? Redeemed ones are no more their own. Your time is redeemed. Use it as a consecrated talent in His cause. Your minds are redeemed. Employ them to learn His truth and to meditate on His ways. Thus make them armories of holy weapons. Your eyes are redeemed. Let them not look on vanity. Close them on all sights and books of folly. Your feet are redeemed. Let them trample on the world and climb the upward hill of Zion and bear you onward in the march of Christian zeal. Your tongues are redeemed. Let them only sound His praise and testify to His love and call sinners to His cross. Your hearts are redeemed. Let them love Him wholly and have no seat for rivals. For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish and defect. 1 Peter 1:18 and 19. Walk as children of light. Let people see the light of Christ in your life, because that's who you are now. You're not children of darkness. You're not children of evil. You're children of light. Emulate that light. Let people see that light in your life. Because you know what it says there in Matthew 5:16? It says, "Let your light so shine before all men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." See, good works are equated with light. You know what's equated with darkness? Drunkenness, revelry, and the like, as Romans 13 gave in the list. Go to Galatians 5, you find the whole list of the deeds of the flesh. That is darkness. You know what darkness is? You fight against that every day. Don't you fight with anger and lust? Don't you fight with the sins of thought and deed? All of these things are darkness. We are constantly fighting against that. So folks, October 31st is not a time to take it off. It's not a time to take a night off from walking in the light and now play with the darkness, thinking you'll never get burned. No, it's a time to confront darkness. It's a time to be the light of the world. Let people see Jesus in you. Let's pray together. Our Father, we come to You tonight with, for some, a very difficult subject to handle. For some, there are people that just struggle with this whole issue. And they don't really see anything wrong with it, Father. And of course, I know in my mind, You have brought me from the very beginning to a place to where I saw nothing good in this. And I pray that You would bring everyone in here to that place. You would help them to see the seriousness of this night. And yet at the same time, You'd help us to see the seriousness of sin, period. That we are not to walk in darkness, we are to walk in the light. That's what we should want to imitate. And so God, I pray that we will have an impact, that we will not allow Satan to deceive us. We thank You, Lord God, for Your Word tonight. We thank You for Your truth. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Before we conclude our time together today, I would like to read an excerpt from a book called Halloween, What's a Christian to Do by Steve Russo. He says, one of the most appealing ways that evil can appear to be innocent is when it is portrayed as being fun and entertaining, such as Halloween. Movies, cartoons, costumes, books, music, and games can sometimes have an element of wickedness that seems to bait and hook your interest. And there's no doubt that this kind of evil sells. Take Sin Magazine, for example. Here's a publication designed for kids who are skaters and thrashers that is supposed to communicate the latest in art, music, culture, and the scene. All this is done with occultic artwork and articles encouraging rebellion, immoral sex, and voodoo comics. Or consider how mega-selling author Stephen King's novels come to life in theaters, thereby desensitizing millions of people to vile wickedness. And what about the latest in skateboard designs? They are made to look as evil as possible, according to a national champion, because, quote, kids are into evil, end quote. When evil comes packaged in the form of entertainment or recreation, it disarms us to its dangers and to the truth that we are playing with spiritual fire. And playing with fire can get you burned. I hope that you've considered carefully this subject as we've looked at it for the last couple of weeks. Should Christians participate in Halloween? Well, go back to the Bible and see what the Bible says, as we've sought to do on these last two broadcasts. The message that we have played is called, Should Christians Participate in Halloween? And this message is available on cassette tape or CD, and we would encourage you to get a copy of this and put it in your home and study what the Bible has to say about these issues. To place your order today, call us at 904-651-3351. Or visit us online at www.changedbygrace.org. Change by Grace is a ministry of Change by Grace Community Church. I'm Pastor Steve Herford, and I want to thank you for listening today. And I hope that you'll join us again next time as we study God's Word.